Today we are going to Myung Suk Church. It has 30,000 members. Its worship space holds 3,000. It's a bit different from home. However, there are many churches which are more like home than I knew when I arrived here. So don't forget to look at home. Next Sunday afternoon is a chance to join together for our afternoon tea, and it starts here at 3 o'clock. And the evening worship will be at Kingsgate Church, and that will start at 6. So some changes there. The Christmas cards that were ordered from Jenny Milner are now ready for collection. Thank you, Jenny. And for those of you who want to join in the collective Christian Aid Christmas card, Barbara Fielding over there has the labels ready to give to the people who receive church news electronically. I'd like to say a thank you to the people who have cleared the detritus from our area before the services have begun today. It's made the welcome very different. Thank you. And finally, Ray Charlton would like to say something.
Two pieces of news. First, I should let you know that Leslie's father's out of hospital. So we give thanks and I hope his recovery continues. So that's very good because it's been a worry to Leslie. And secondly, I just wanted to draw everybody's attention. Don't know if you can you all read that? Promises auction here on the 19th of November. Now, there's a team of us been calling everybody and sending emails around and hopefully speaking to people to ask for your promises. Something that you're happy to give. It can be time, it can be an offence. Something that we can use to raise money and also have fun at. And so people can share and it helps in the growth of this church. So it's taken place on the 19th of November, which is 3 weeks' time, not long yet. We've got a lot of promises in. At the moment, I think we've got about 30 promises, but we're looking to get about a minimum of 50. So there'll be people calling and speaking to everybody who hasn't yet declared their promise. And if you know anybody else who would like to give a promise for this auction, then please speak to me. And we hope to see as many people as possible. And just to let you know, the event will have an auctioning of the promises. We'll have a supper in the middle. And the auctioning will be interspersed with bingo. But bingo, hallelujah bingo, with a bit of a difference. So I hope it's going to be a really fun evening as well. So if you can all come, 19th of November. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. We're going to begin our service by saying together the words of number 743. As usual, if you will join in the heavy print, I'll say the lighter print. Show us your ways, O Lord. Teach us your paths. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Show us your ways, O Lord. Teach us your paths. Blessed are those who do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Show us your ways, O Lord. Teach us your paths. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Show us your ways, O Lord. Teach us your paths. We join to sing, King of Glory, King of Peace. We remember the presence of God with us now and his promise that when his people are gathered together, he will grant their requests. Lord, you are great and greatly to be praised. Awaken us to delight in your praises, for you have made us for yourself. And our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you. Be thou a bright flame before me. Be thou a guiding star above me. Be thou a smooth path below me. Be thou a kindly shepherd behind me. Today, this week, and forever. Amen. O God, you have chosen weak things to confound the mighty. Shed forth continual day upon us who work watch for you, that our lips may praise you, our life may bless you, and our meditations glorify you. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We join to to say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, my computer, who has sometimes a mind of its own, inserted the next two items on the service order. So I'm not taking the computer's thoughts and proceeding straight to the hymn, God is Love, Let Heaven Adore Him. Our first reading comes from the book of Hosea and will be read to us by Teresa James.
Yes, it's from Hosea chapter 11, verses 1 to 9. The Lord says, When Israel was a child, I loved him and I called him out of Egypt as my son. But the more I called him, the more he turned away from me. My people sacrificed to Baal, they burned incense to idols. Yet I was the one who taught Israel to walk. I took my people up in my arms, but they did not acknowledge that I took care of them. I drew them to me with affection and love. I picked them up and I held them to my cheek. I bent down to them and fed them. They refused to return to me, and so they must return to Egypt, and Assyria will rule them. War will sweep through their cities and break down the city gates. It will destroy my people because they do what they themselves think best. They insist on turning away from me. They will cry out because of the yoke that is on them, but no one will lift it from them. How can I give you up, Israel? How can I abandon you? Could I ever destroy you as I did Admah, or treat you as I did Zeboim? My heart will not let me do it. My love for you is too strong. I will not punish you in my anger. I will not destroy Israel again. For I am God, and not a mere human being. I, the Holy One, am with you. I will not come to you in anger.
Our second reading comes from Luke and will be read by Vaughan James.
This reading is from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Jesus visits Martha and Mary. As Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him in her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat down at the feet of the Lord and listened to his teaching. Martha was upset over all the work she had to do, so she came and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to come and help me." The Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled over so many things, but just one is needed. Mary has chosen the right thing, and it will not be taken away from her." Amen.
Today I want to talk about part of women's experience and insight into the nature of God. Most of the teaching we hear about God inevitably has come down from men. And Anne Premilvasi said it was like looking at God and Jesus through a male lens. Not surprisingly, from the men, we've received a picture which is often dominated by male values. For example, God is usually depicted as an authority figure, a father, a king, a judge. Faith is represented as a thinking process, intellectual. Religious thinking and practice has very often been obsessed with ideas of sin and guilt. And you may think that that particularly attaches to the male of the species. Holiness is depicted as an achievement, a search for perfection. and not the least, emotions and passions are treated as dangerous, not helpful to the life of the spirit. And in this debate, it's of course not at all helpful to swing from an overemphasis on male values to an overemphasis on female values. But the experience and thinking of women about the nature of God has too regularly been ignored by the Christian community. And as a result, we have lost insights which are significant and energizing. And today I want to talk about three women who lived between 900 and 700 years ago in Germany and in England, and who had a very different way of thinking about God. And they were Hildegard of Bingen, who was born in 1098, Mechtild of Magdeburg, who was born in 1210, and Mother Julian of Norwich, who was born in 1342. And today we're concerned not so much about their lives, but about their ideas. But it might be helpful to know a little about each of them. Hildegard lived in Bingen in the Rhineland. She was an extraordinary person. She was a doctor, a pharmacist, a playwright, a poet, a painter, a musician, a mystic, a prophetess who attacked church corruption, and in her spare time, she was the abbess of a dual, i.e. male and female, monastery. And some of her poetry and music we still have today. Mechtild lived in Magdeburg. Her life story is very different. She was an unmarried woman, not at first belonging to any religious order. She was just a church member. She spoke out against church corruption, and as a result, she was driven from town to town as a homeless person. She kept a journal, which eventually she published, and it was called The Flowing Light of the Godhead. And then our own Mother Julian lived in Norwich, attached to St. Julian's Church. She wrote a book called The 16 Revelations of Divine Love. She's famous for describing her understanding of the motherhood of God, which she linked to the idea of the motherhood of Christ. She said, "Our Savior is our true mother, in whom we are endlessly born, and out of whom we shall never finally come." Julian lived in the generation immediately following the Black Death, which killed a third of the population of England. And despite that, she's remarkable for hope and joy. And her most famous saying is that all manner of things may be well. Out of the teachings of these women, some key themes emerge. And first of all, they taught that loving God is joyful. Mother Julian invented a new word to describe her relationship with God. The new word was enjoy. She called people who constantly dwelled on their sinfulness foolish. Joy become beyond measure was everyone's birthright. Mechtild said, "Come, love, sing on. Let me hear you sing this song. Sing for joy and laugh. For I, the Creator, am truly subject and found in all creatures. The manifold delight I take in earthly things, said Mechtild, can never distract me from my love of God, for in them I will love God and not myself. They lived in a climate where the church emphasized the spiritual and devalued the physical. But our three teachers taught us never to devalue our physical and emotional life. If you devalue the body, you also devalue the soul, said Julian. Our sensuality is grounded in nature, in compassion, in grace, in our sensuality, God is. God is the mind, is the means whereby our substance and our sensuality are kept together so as never to be apart. Mechtild said, do not disdain your body, for your soul is just as safe in its body as in the kingdom of heaven. And Hildegard said, people who are holy draw to themselves all that is earthly. So our three teachers were comfortable with their own emotions. Their views on the world of nature and animals were also quite different from the mainline teaching of their day, which confined the search for salvation for the spiritual matters. Care for the related universe is, of course, a relatively late development in human society. And even now, it's not easily accepted where it conflicts with commercial objectives. This week in the announcement about Heathrow Extension, whatever you think about that, climate concerns and the effect it will have on air pollution on local people did not merit a single mention in the reports. It's then remarkable that Hildegard, writing 900 years ago, wrote these words about the danger of abusing the created world. This is what she said. All of creation God gives to humankind to use. If the privilege is misused, God's justice permits creation to punish humanity. Her words sound like a prophetic warning. It sounds like guile. It sounds like the result, a prophetic warning about the results of consumerism on the earth. So it's a far-reaching theological interpretation of our relationship with the created world. A creation is a gift which must be respected for itself as part of God's creation in which we are bound up, and not simply exploited for our benefit. And it warns that abuse of the created world will have dire consequences for humankind, because that is the way the creation is wired. All of creation God gives to humankind to use. If the privilege is misused, God's justice permits creation to punish humanity. Hildegard underlined her passionate love for the earth in an amazing passage, and this is it. Now, in the people that were meant to be green, there is no more life of any kind. There is only shriveled barrenness. The winds are burdened with the awful stink of evil, selfish things going on. The earth must not be injured. The earth must not be destroyed. For our three teachers, faith was not a matter of mental effort. It was basically a question of trust. Trust shows the way, said Hildegard. And Mother Julian explained it rather more fully. Often our trust is not full, she said. We are not certain that God hears us because we consider ourselves worthless and as nothing. This is ridiculous and the very cause of our weakness. I have felt this way myself, she said. Our first reading today was Hosea's comparison of God's love for us with the care of a mother for her child. The Lord says, when Israel was a child, I loved him. It was I who taught Israel to walk. I took my people up in my arms. I drew them to me with affection and love. I picked them up and held them to my cheek. I bent down to them and fed them. And the biblical image of the motherhood of God is central to our three women teachers. All three speak of God in terms of roundness, protecting and encircling. Divinity is like a wheel, a circle, a whole, said Hildegard. The deep wisdom of the Trinity is our mother in whom we are enclosed, said Julian. What exactly do they mean by motherhood? Not, I think, a return to infancy, but a return to compassion as a way of life. The mother's service is nearest, surest, and readiest and surest. Nearest because it is the most natural, readiest because it is the most loving, and surest because it is the truest. But that relationship also includes pain, risk, and courage, because birth also includes these things. Mother Julian said, we know that all our mothers bear us for pain and for death. The centrality of the image of the motherhood of God signifies their belief in a wisdom of compassion, as opposed to a wisdom of knowledge or based on information. And I'm conscious that an address like this can only indicate the richness of Julian Mechtild and Hildegard's teaching and its relevance to us. And all I can do is close with a summary that the Dominican scholar Matthew Fox made of how he saw their distinctive insights and the way their teaching conflicts and complements male teaching. For them, passions and emotions are a blessing, not a danger or a snare. For them, the spiritual life is like dancing Sarah's circle rather than climbing Jacob's ladder. For them, life is dominated by blessing and not by sin or guilt. They see suffering not as the wages of sin, but as the birth pangs of the universe. And critically, like the experience of Mechtild, who was driven from town to town as a homeless person, they find spirituality located in the powerless, not in the powerful. OK. keep silence for a moment or two. We join to sing, loving Spirit, you have chosen us to be. This is the time when we join our prayers for ourselves, for our community and our friends, and for the world in which we live. We thank you, O God, for you are gracious. You have loved us from the beginning of time, and you remember us in times of trouble and of joy. We thank you, O God, For you came to us in Jesus Christ, who has redeemed the world and saves us from our sins. We thank you, O God, for you have sent your Holy Spirit, who comforts us and leads us into all truth. Your mercy endures forever. Amen. Let's join to pray for all people everywhere according to their needs. So we pray for the Church of Christ in all the world. And today we remember the Church of Christ in Korea, where Leslie has been for the last week. We pray for the unity of Christians, for our commitment to the fulfillment of Christ's mission. For all ministers of the gospel and all of us Christians here in Kingston. Strengthen your church in the service of Christ, that we and all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let's pray for all the nations and the peoples of the world, for all who serve the common good. Let's pray for our own country and leaders faced with extraordinarily difficult decisions. Let's pray that authority may be exercised with wisdom and compassion. Give wisdom to all in authority. Direct this and every nation in the ways of justice and of peace, that we may honor one another and seek the common good. Lord, in your mercy. Let's pray for those we know and love, for our local community, for our families and friends. Let's keep silence as we remember personally those who we care for and who need our support. Give grace to us, our families and friends, and to all our neighbors, that we may serve Christ in one another and love as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy. Let's pray especially for those who suffer, for those who are sick, for those who mourn, for those without faith, and for those who serve people in need. Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let's remember all who have died, giving thanks especially for those who have died in the faith of Christ and whose lives have witnessed to the reality of his salvation. We commend all people to your unfailing love, that in them your will may be fulfilled. And we rejoice at the faithful witness of your saints in every age, praying that we may share with them in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue our service as we receive our offering. Lord, accept these gifts as a symbol of the offering of our lives and commitment to you. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The organ voluntary after the service, Tony is going to play a chorale prelude on a plain song tone for the Magnificat, reflecting on the emphasis on the teaching of women in the service. And he comments, a song sung by Mary, who knew more than any woman the power and the nature of God. Tony will precede that, his playing, by singing the plain song tune. So just stay where you are. Don't be too surprised when that happens. And we now join in our final hymn, "And Art Thou Come With Us to Dwell." Let's sing. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us always. Amen. As we leave, we say the grace to each other. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.